Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Tonight you're
mine, completely. We're back. 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thank you very much for hanging out with us. Folks, in the previous segment, by the way, Jim Copeland's still with us. In the previous segment, and by the way, Jim is director of the Center for Legal Policy at the Manhattan Institute. Manhattan-institute.com.org, right?
.org, right.
Manhattan-institute.org. And Jim gave us a little bit of a tour of the history of corporate governance, the history of your rights as a shareholder, and brought us up to kind of where we are right now. And the folks, the reason why I'm talking about these things is because these are things that impact your small business, if not directly, indirectly. If you're a business-to-business, small business, the things that Jim and I are talking about have an effect on the way, directly or indirectly, and the way you do business with these major corporations. When they do contracts with you, when they work with you, when they're giving you business, these are things that either help them or hurt them from being able to do more business with you. And so, Jim, this is why I think these are valid things to talk about on a small business show. Last week, you released a new report on where things are with regard to corporate governance. Tell us about it.
Absolutely. The report's entitled Proxy Monitor 2011, and the name comes from our new website that we launched this year, which is www.proxymonitor.org. What we're really looking at are sort of shareholder activism through proposals on the proxy statement, which is something that's regulated by the federal government and through the Securities and Exchange Commission. And what I've talked about here really is what I would describe as a new kind of shareholder activism. The shareholder activism we saw in the 1980s was, you know, through hostile takeovers and leveraged buyouts and things like that, the sort of stuff that makes good movies. Most people don't understand exactly how it touches them unless their company is getting bought out or what have you. But the basic principle there was a lot of these bigger companies, and these were mostly bigger companies, were not being run very well. Mm-hmm. The managers were sort of either placating the unions or not taking appropriate risks or spending too much money on fancy perks for management or what have you. And so these Wall Street guys, and this is where Wall Street can have a very good effect, Wall Street guys were coming in there and saying, well, we're just going to borrow some money, buy out these companies through their stock market, replace the managers, and get these companies back on their feet. And this didn't work every time, but on average, what this did was help drive the stock market and help drive the economy and make it more efficient. This new type of shareholder activism is something very different. And what it's been prone to is interest group capture. The basic rule under the Securities and Exchange Commission regulations is that if you own stock and you hold the stock for at least a year and you own at least $2,000, you can propose a shareholder proposal on the annual proxy statement for all the other shareholders to vote on. Now, in principle, this isn't a bad thing per se. You want to have shareholders have some sort of voice, but what you've seen is a lot of things getting introduced that are really regulatory, public policy, social questions. So you've got a lot of oil companies getting environmental proposals, or food processing companies getting animal rights proposals from the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, big businesses that are selling equipment overseas getting foreign policy, human rights-related questions, and what have you. And these things generally, while they're interesting questions, they're not really the sorts of questions that shareholders' rights are traditionally.
But aren't they good little micro checks and balances though? Isn't it's not a bad thing for the corporate leaders to have to at least say, okay, there are people out here with this point of view. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, there's one thing to have a point of view. There's another thing to have the corporate leaders themselves, and their fiduciary duties mixed in with these sorts of questions. And the reason for that is we've had a traditional rule in the U.S. that when it comes to equity holders, stockholders, their incentives are aligned around one variable. And the reason why corporations are more efficient than government. There are many different reasons, but one major reason is that the corporations all are aligned around one interest, and that's driving the share price up. Whereas with democracy, it's messy, and you've got lots of different issues, and you might agree with one party or the other on
right.
the environment or human rights or gay rights or foreign wars or taxation and spending, and so it's messy.
But where it gets really messy, Jim, is when this is what one of the big parts of your report is where some of these organizations have more than $2,000 invested. They have a big chunk of change in there through their pension funds, and they're trying to influence things that way.
Right, and I think what's even more disturbing to some degree, I mean, we focus a lot on these sort of social policy proposals, but let's be clear, they don't pass. None of them have passed over the 4 years that we study in the report.
Right.
And through our database, which is only for the biggest companies.
But are you concerned about how some of the unions have been influencing things?
Absolutely. And to me, that's perhaps the most pernicious thing going on here. When we started looking at what the unions were doing with these companies, the unions, first of all, have control through their investments, through their employee pension funds. Now, and under the federal regulatory scheme, they're supposed to manage that only for the share price value for the beneficiaries. And the reason for that, of course,
yeah.
is you can't have the union fund saying, well, we want to take pro-union positions, even if they're against the company,
mm-hmm.
with our stock portfolio, because you've got retirees in there that are depending
right.
on that for their
right.
livelihood, and they, you know, their interests aren't whatever the current union member's interests might be. So
right.
they're supposed to behave that way. Now, when we started looking at this...
Hold on to that thought, Jim. We're going to talk
sure.
about... We're going to finish this up on the other side of these messages. Ten Till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Right back with Jim Copeland. Stay with me.
She was a bebop baby on a hard day's night. She was hanging on Johnny, he was holding on.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.